How you doing? It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite talk show. Probably its favorite show, period. Your wallet's not that into music anyway. I'm your co-host, James Parker. How you doing? Coming up on today's show, well, there's going to be a lot more of what you regularly hear on this show. What happened in the financial world, things that you need to know to be better with your money going forward. A couple things we're going to talk about, though. This segment is going to be ways you can cut spending in retirement. But you know that this is going to bleed over into the rest of our lives as well. God knows I need some tips on how to cut spending. We'll hit some of that. We'll do the number segment as well. And in that segment, if you want to follow along on the exact same charts and graphs Gregory and I are looking at during the number segment, you can go to winningitlife.com, download the Winning It Life app. Some great options there. Should I do this in the number segment? Well, here, I'll tease it. This is coming up in the number segment. The GDP number was revised down for the first quarter. However, along with that, we'll do the headline later. Hang on. Along with that, though, is a slew of other numbers that are being leaked out of the financial world that kind of lets you know that the second quarter and the second three quarters, or the one, two, three quarters, the back three-fourths of 2018 have a lot of reasons to be optimistic, but there's still a little pessimism to go around. I want to start, though, by going across the big lake there. And no, I don't mean Lake Pontchartrain. I mean the Atlantic Ocean. We're going to go to Scotland. Now, why on earth would we be talking about Scotland today? Is that even a Scottish accent? I think that might be just regular England. But we have, this is pretty cool. I haven't seen this before, and Gregory and I are keeping our finger on the pulse of what's going on in the crypto world. And there's now a hospital in Scotland that treats not a gambling addiction, but a cryptocurrency addiction. There, that's a headline. And the easiest comparison, though, is gambling. Why? Because it is gambling, okay? Because there's nothing backing this thing up. This isn't a stock. This isn't even a precious metal where, hey, well, there's at least this physical chunk of something that I can wrench into a ring, an engagement ring, or make a chain, you know, for two chains. Maybe he wants to be three chains now, so I'll make him another one. No, what we have here is the fiat currency without even the fiat. And yeah, look, I understand what you're saying, James. Well, that's the same thing as backing American money. Well, I mean, yes and no. There's nothing physical. There's nothing tangible. But the full faith and credit of the United States government counts for something. That means if you're going to go to the United States government and you want to buy a missile and you hand them a stack of these little fiat currencies, that there will be a missile involved in your future. However, cryptocurrency has all the downsides of the fiat currency, and not even any of that little tiny part of an upside. Let me give you the one thing that some of these cryptos may have on some forms of the fiat currency. Not all of them, and not all cryptos, but some cryptocurrencies are actually limited in their creation. They just can't be generated out of thin air. There's a mining process, and then there's a blockchain to hold the ledger. So it can't be created nor destroyed. It can only be transferred. And that really is what the essence of the blockchain technology is. Can we finally create something in the digital world that acts something like a tangible product? And that's what blockchain is attempting to do. But here's the downside. In the fiat currency world, there's not a blockchain to hold it down. So in some people who are in control of a fiat currency, and this does include DC, if they want to spend $4 trillion and taxes only raised $3 trillion, so they had a bond sell and only $500 billion of those were bought up, so you're still $500 billion in the hole, well, then in this fiat system, you go print out yourself another $500 billion, and then you, air quotes, buy the bond from yourself. And that kind of makes it the wash. That's where it comes from. So you can just magically create piles and piles of money out of thin air. Now, you're not creating real wealth. You're not creating value. the amount of goods and services that you can exchange those dollars for remains static. So the supply remains static, but the monetary supply increases. That's literal inflation. That's monetary inflation. People like to use the term inflation usually in connection with price inflation, but that's what literal inflation is. A lot of times if you inflate your money supply and everything stays unchanged on the supply side, well, then, yeah, you're going to have higher prices, but that's not necessarily what it is. People like that. That's one of my pet peeves. All right. So now that we've scratched the basics of crypto versus fiat, well, what does that mean then to invest in a cryptocurrency? See, gambling is sort of a gray area definition. Because if gambling's illegal, then how do we have the stock market? You don't know if that stock's going to go up or down. Just like you don't know when you go to the roulette table that little bouncing ball is going to land on a black or a red. But what you do is you go to your stockbroker or you go to the roulette table and you make your bet. I'm going to put my money on this. And look, the machinations of the game being played behind the scenes are vastly different. But the overall philosophical approach is just about the same. I'm going to risk this much money in the hopes of gaining more money and gaining that money back plus a little bit. And if you do it wrong too many times, well, then you're going to lose. And you're going to be out of money, aren't you? But if you do it right enough times, then you're going to win. Here's the deal. Do you really know if a stock's going to go up or down? You don't. So while there is some sort of underlying assets, while there is things going on behind the scenes that make it not a 100% game of chance, the amount of information it would take for one person to know and process everything to make it not a game of chance is basically impossible. So you can go in there with some good feelings or some good ideas, or you can recognize patterns that other stocks have done and have a reasonable assumption that this stock is going to behave in the way that you predict. And you're still going to get it wrong a lot. But if you get it wrong more often than if you get it right more often, you get it wrong, then you're a good stockbroker. Same thing with the roulette ball, though. If you get it right more than you get it wrong, you're a pretty good gambler. But here in the cryptocurrency world, you have a perfect hybrid between those two scenarios. No, you don't have a little ball that's going on a spinny wheel and it's going to bounce and randomly hit a number and a color. And if it matches anything you bet on, then you win. It's not like that. And it's kind of like the stock situation here where, yeah, there's a lot of other players in this thing. And this isn't a game of chance where no one knows how it's going to turn up. And it's not dependent on some ball bouncing around on a spinning wheel. It depends on whether there's a guy on the other side willing to make that trade. What is he going through? What are these exchanges going through? How are they competing with other actual tangible currencies? How are they competing with other cryptocurrencies? Is there an update to this blockchain ledger that has made this more valuable, safe, wanted, popular, or not? But it's about as close as you can get to playing roulettes or playing the slot machine, betting on cryptocurrencies. I'm sorry. No, that's not what it's not. You're not betting on cryptocurrency. You're investing, right, guys? You're investing in cryptocurrencies. Yes, that sounds a little patronizing because it is meant to be. But I'm of the belief that, yeah, Bitcoin trading is akin. It's not the same, but it is akin to gambling. And you know what else? These day traders, you see them end up in some sort of addictive state quite often, but it's for the same reason. It's a little dopamine hit. You know, that's why a lot of people like to get on Twitter and just argue with strangers for no reason. That's a good feeling when you put your money down and, oh, I won. People love winning. You don't believe me if people love winning, go out on the side of on the nearest sidewalk with a box of t-shirts, just start handing them out. No one's going to take one. Say, hey, if you can answer a question, you win a shirt. People will be lined up around the block. So there's a little rush that we all have when we win. That's why I like to play video games, because I like to win. I don't get anything out of it, and there's no monetary reward, but that sweet dopamine hit of winning. That's why some people are addicted to golf or sports. It's why some people are addicted to, you know, things that married people are supposed to do. But Bitcoin has now gone so popular and so big, it's actually destroyed some lives. and continued behavior in the face of negative consequences, for me, is the poor man's definition of an addiction, and something needs to be done about it. However, the hospital that set up the first cryptocurrency addiction treatment clinic, they have a 10-question test to let you know if you're addicted to Bitcoin. You want to find out if we're addicted to Bitcoin today? All right, let's go. Well, it's not a game show. It's not that fun. We're just going to ask 10 quick questions here. All right. And you're going to see that these questions, they sound like they came straight out of the gambling pamphlet. So how do you know if you're addicted to cryptocurrencies? If you answer 5 or more of the following 10 questions, yes, you are a pathological cryptocurrency addict. Number one, do I spend a lot of time thinking about different types of cryptocurrency? For me, no. Number two, am I spending large amounts on cryptocurrency? Well, for me, that's still zero. Have I tried to slow down or completely stop cryptocurrency trading, but not been able to? Obviously, I hadn't got started in the first place, but you see where this is going, right? This sounds exactly like the gambling one. Heck, you could probably substitute in cocaine for this one. Do I become restless or irritable if I try to cut down my screen time related to cryptocurrency? Do I jump on the computer and start trading in cryptocurrency to escape from life's problems or to try to elevate my mood? Do I carry on trading in cryptocurrency after losing money to try and gain it back? Have I ever fibbed to other people about how much time or money I spend trading in cryptocurrency? Have I ever taken money unlawfully to fund my cryptocurrency addiction? 2 more questions here. Has my cryptocurrency trading habit had an effect on my relationships or job? Or do I try to get other people to lend me money when I have lost on investment? Man, see, the thing about the gambling addiction is it's one of those I just don't understand. You lose your money, or it's not an addiction. Then you're just, if you win, then you're a professional gambler. If you lose money, then you have an addiction. That's not a dopamine hit for me to lose money. But I've met those people, and I know those people. And boy, they sound exactly the same, don't they? 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
2 questions. Do you have a pulse? Do you own anything? If you said yes to both, you probably need a will. You may even need a trust. We all know a lawyer. Do you know someone who specializes in estate planning? Do you really trust the husband of your sister's friend from college? Or would you feel better putting your family in the hands of the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority? I'm Wes Blanchard. What's your plan? Offices in Metairie and at wjblanchardlaw.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I'd like to have balance. What's in the company plan? I'm a fan of Roth. Also, I like after-tax dollars. What that does is give you a lot of flexibility. So if you're taking income from all 3 of those sources at retirement, you're taking tax-free income into the mix, because when you take a distribution from your Roth, it is not going to show up on the 1040. And of course, after-tax dollars, you can really be creative in that and making look like some of your distributions are principal, so you're not being taxed. So it gives us an awesome mix. I've got a client, $4,200 a month in income. Off that $4,200 a month, her tax bill for the year was about $1,000.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. This is it. I'm telling you, this is it. Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Yeah, call us. Take some action. Find out what you need about that fixed annuity. Some of these people, I had a conversation today. What's up with Fisher and hating on annuities? You know, so I explained that today as well. 504-260-0995. I got, you're over there laughing. So what's up, James?
Because I have said to the TV, because we have to watch Fox Business. Well, we choose to watch Fox Business on a regular basis. And
it is a choice.
And it is, at some weeks it's on where it seems every other spot. And I have said to the TV, all right, Ken, show me where on this doll the annuities touched you. Where, just point out where on this doll, because he sounds like he's been abused by them. It's so over the top.
Yeah. One of the statements he talks about, nosebleed fees. You know, there's a fixed index annuity we like as a bond tool. Has no fees.
Whoa, you mean little fees?
No fees.
But that wouldn't give me a nosebleed. Absolutely.
No, he's talking about variable annuities is what he's talking about. Another phrase he made, and variable annuities, typically 2-4%. I'll follow up with this other comment he makes. Well, if annuity can do it, then there's a better way to do it. Something like that. I'm not quoting him exactly, mm-hmm. but he's inferring, look, if you can put it in annuity, well, then we can do it better.
You want me to just play the spot?
No.
Okay.
I'm good. Well, we can in a moment, but I want to continue with this. So what he's referring to is a variable IRA annuity. So why, and what's inside of a variable annuity? Mutual funds. Okay. If we're wanting an IRA with mutual funds, why would we put it in a wrapper that has 2-4% in fees? Oh, well, there is one benefit. You can convert it to guaranteed lifetime income, but it's a market account. It goes up with the market, goes down. Oh, but it has this income base that grows. Yeah, but the account value still moves down and moves up. It's a variable annuity. He's hating on variable annuities. Well, you know what? I don't like them either. Now, what might be the one place you take and put a variable annuity to work that you might could kind of argue, yeah, there is a slight benefit there. It's a non-qualified variable annuity. So if you're wanting mutual funds, and you have after-tax money and want to put it to work, it can grow tax deferred in a variable annuity, but it's a risk account. Don't go in there thinking you're in non-risk. It's a risk account. Even if it's got an income rider, it's a risk account. It can move into your principal. And of course it can move up and it can be converted to what all annuities do at the course, lifetime income, but it's expensive way to do that. When you consider the taxes, you're probably not getting the dividends credited. Maybe you are, but it's mutual funds inside of that. So maybe comparing the fees to paying the taxes on a step up basis from a capital gain standpoint, it might be a wash. Something to think about. I wouldn't do it that way. I wouldn't use a variable annuity for any situation. But when you hear his comments, and if you understand the difference between variable and fixed, and he's doing it for effect, grouping it all together as if they're all the same. And a fixed annuity has a base that you can grow upon and reset the base at different intervals as the account value grows. And for the most part, most fixed indexed annuities do not have a fee on the core annuity. If you add something like an income rider, there's a fee. And you know what? It's less typically than what a variable would be. And that's probably the only fee you see on it, because now you could have commissions affect variable. Commissions don't affect the fixed there. So when you see that commercial and everybody's kind of wondering, because I get asked it more because he just hammers them. But then at the end he says, well, if you have $500,000 or more, give us a call. Okay. Well, he sure has excluded a lot of people. And why does he favor equities 100%? They probably are paying him more compensation than an annuity would. So don't go think and lead to where, you know, something about his, you know, his comment on commissions is, yeah, it's equivalent of getting a few years of the managed money up front. But most of part, if you kind of look at what's the typical, the industry looks at what's the lifetime value of a client, and they kind of look at it over a 10 year period. Managed money's paying more than a fixed annuity or a variable annuity.
Didn't we establish on a previous show that he probably couldn't sell a fixed annuity if he wanted to anyway, because it's an insurance product and he's on
he's basically a giant RIA is what he is.
Oh, okay.
You know, with billions under management, which when you've got that type of business built up and the revenues from it, yeah, you can splash commercials all you want because he has plenty of money to do so.
Did someone ask you about this today, or did you see it
today?
Where did this come from?
I was asked today, but yeah, I see one of his commercials every day. I see it on the web. Heck, he emails me too.
Do you think he overdoes the gestures with it? He's always doing something with his hands for his,
I didn't see him. He was on one. He may have been on Fox Business or CNBC or one of them. Stacy, my wife, had commented. She saw him and I said, well, does he move the hand? She said, absolutely. Even when he's sitting in a chair behind a desk, he said, the arms are moving all over the place. That's just him.
It feels like someone told him to move his hand so he doesn't look, you know, like a stoic puppet.
So tell me, when you are risk averse, meaning you don't want to lose money. We did a risk test for a wife today. She scored a 25. The husband came in at 34 on the risk test that we do, because we, a lot of time we'll do it at let a couple, cause most of the time they're kind of in agreement, but today they weren't. So I said, well, let's start with Diane and then we finish. And then we did Fred. So their number came in different. So she's a bit, he wanted to start off trying to get more and then shifted to conservative. She went conservative to begin with in her answers and stayed conservative on the number. So when you're conservative and you dislike annuities, let's see, what does the world come down to? You're either on Wall Street or you're on bank CDs. How many worlds of money are there? There's the banking world, there's the Wall Street world, and there's the fixed annuity world. Well, I didn't mention variables. No, I did mention variables. The Wall Street world. They are not for conservative, risk-averse people. I'll repeat it again. You have the banking world. You have the Wall Street world, which includes variable annuities. Then you have the fixed world, which includes life insurance, fixed interest, or fixed life insurance, and fixed annuities, which could be fixed interest annuities or fixed indexed annuities. That's the three worlds. So if you're saying, well, I don't want anything to do with Wall Street. Well, now we're down to annuities and CDs. There. That's it. Or you're doing a combination, and you can do a combination of having fixed indexed annuities, and you can do conservative Wall Street comes into the mix. And that doesn't necessarily mean bonds, because we have a rising interest rate environment. Want me to keep going?
If you've got more, we have another half hour here, Gregory. I don't like to hit the brakes when you get going.
Yeah. Well, that's a conversation today. And then I was interviewed for a Kiplinger article and I went down that road of there's three types of tax worlds, the pre-tax 401ks, mm-hmm. the Roth, where we can put it in after tax, grow it tax deferred, and it comes out tax free. And then there's after tax money. So it grows on a basis that you're paying tax along the way and you get the step up, but you could use deferred accounts like a fixed annuity and grow it tax deferred and pay the tax later. So you have 401ks, it comes out tax ordinary, Roth tax free, after tax account. Oh, the 7702, you can do that where you're growing the money and you can take out tax free income from that. You can do that with after tax money. And then I started talking about, and then once we understand the tax world, we want to develop multiple income sources, whether it's your pension, Social Security, your IRA, your Roth, your 7702. There you go. That's kind of some of my discussions today.
Man, I know there's people that want to come in with their rental income. That keeps coming up.
And that can be, that's another source of income. I'm kind of what we help people manage and create. I don't manage the real estate, but okay, add that in. We're fans of income, multiple ways coming in at retirement with tax efficiency.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, Gregory is a Hall of Fame financial advisor and will give your question the good old college try. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
If you've been listening to Winning at Life for a while now, you probably already know that estate planning is more than just a will. You may need a trust. You definitely need both of your powers of attorney. So what's your plan? Hi, I'm Wes Blanchard, an estate planning attorney of offices in Metairie. Listen, don't leave your loved ones in a bind. Call me and we'll make you a plan or update your existing plan. Find me at wjblanchardlaw.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
When you take income, how do you avoid taxes on that? Build up a whole bunch of cash value in a life insurance policy and borrow money from it. Loans are not taxable. And what will that help? Reduce your taxes.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks and Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
If you like money, you will love the Winning at Life app. If you want to call the show or text Winning at Life right now, get the app. If you need to contact Gregory's office or any of the Total Wealth Authority, it's on the app. If you would like to stream the show live or on podcast, that's on the app too. It's free. Just a one-time login is all it takes to join the Winning at Life Nation. The Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app.
Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
May we all know that nothing ain't cool till you wear the new off the sound of a quarter rolling down the jukebox. Play the saddest tread right above the tupac. Before you get lost down some road. Slow rolling with the top off the back of a Bronco.
Mike Bill.
The Need for Speed. I think I'm going to go out to NOLA.
Motorsports?
Motorsports Friday afternoon. And I'm going to take some of the traction control off of my car because I've like been driving on the racetrack with that a couple years, and I think I'm wanting to learn a little bit more about the car.
Traction control
off of it and see what I can push to the left. I'm trying to beat 2 minutes around the track. You know, I've done it in two flat. I'm like,
I can't believe you'd leave that on. Is that like anti-lock brakes or something? What is
well, it control? Helps. It helps brake and it creates some adjustments when the car gets loose. You know, so you don't want the rear end to come around on you. So it helps, but I think I'm pretty seasoned at it, so I'm going to start developing my skills without the car helping me, because I think it actually might be slowing me down.
I bet it is.
So we're going to find out on Friday. Nice weather day, sun's out. Go out there,
zoom around in a fast car,
do some laps and see how it goes. This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. If you'd like the NOLA experience, they could introduce you. They got the extreme car experience out there. Hey, yep. They have go-karting. Hey, there's a number of ways to experience.
We haven't done that yet, though. We haven't done the go-karting.
That's coming up here, I think, in a few weeks. I get to drive the big fast.
Yeah, and how am I supposed to go back go-kart to the go-karts once I've been in the
I
big cars?
I can't go back to the go-karts. Yeah. That's for the younger people that hadn't experienced the I guess supercars, whatever, fast cars. Yeah. How do you go back to a go-kart?
Yeah. How do you go from 130 miles an hour to about 35?
I don't know, but yeah, NOLAMotor.com. If you want to find out more about how to experience that, let's talk some money. 504-260-0995. Yeah. That's our number. Last segment. I kind of got into the Fisher thing about, I hate annuities. I would never sell annuity. He's probably sold a bunch of them, but it's great marketing, but it's just, I don't know how he gets away with grouping them all together and hating on all of them. It's very misleading.
Lawyers. I blame lawyers on that. It is misleading and it's intentionally misleading, Gregory.
But I am like him in the way that I like using the F word too. Fiduciary. We sling it around our office and here on the show as well. We think you should work with somebody that totally puts you first. Had a family in yesterday. What is that term, James, when you're kind of doing it from, you know, when somebody's going in and doing it, say, from a healthy standpoint?
Holistic?
Yes, that was in their kind of notes. We've talked to number of financial people, but what we're looking for somebody is a holistic approach. So I dropped the F word on them, fiduciary, because we are licensed fiduciaries. It's called a Series 65 license. So we have a legal obligation to put people first. So when you're kind of looking for who to work with, I would like to use somebody that uses the F word.
Well, financially speaking, you're holistic.
Well, yeah. And that's what, when I was explaining, she says, well, you're holistic. I said, because I'd also explained to her, I don't have to manage all the assets or control them, but I have to know everything that's going on. So we can correlate that, make sure we're giving you the best advice for the right reasons. And we have to know what you're doing over there. So we're giving the right advice over here. And then of course we talked about the philosophy, the investment rules, and then about the math. Everybody's got theory. Everybody's got a plan. Everybody's got theories, but where does the math take you? And that's where we were having a discussion about when to turn on Social Security, because we had that discussion about him waiting the 70 and she's going to be 68 at the time. And we were talking about, well, you know, because of hitting a max number there, that because she could actually turn hers on at FRA, he's waiting to 70, and she didn't know this. So I gave her a great social security tip in the meeting that kind of like, wow, we had no idea. See, he's going to wait to 70. He's 2 years older than her, and he's creating the max social security check. She's not going to get there. And I said, in that case, it might make mathematical sense to turn on your social security at full retirement age, which that's going to be less than half of what his is at FRA. And I said, when he turns on his at 70, you can draw the 50% spousal because that's based on his FRA age, which will be like 66 and 4 months. And I said, that's a bigger check than what you will start drawing. So why would you wait to 70 when you can start drawing this cash flow and the rules allow you to step up and keep drawing? And he's regardless has built the largest check. You're not going to make that up by waiting to 70, having those opportunities to start cash flowing that. Once again, holistic approach and how does that correlate with the assets? I said, well, yeah, you could define that as what we do, but this, I don't call it no certain thing. It's, this is what we do.
All right. Well, let's test and exercise the holistic nature of your financial abilities, Gregory. You just did a nice little math, science, black and white, all on the spreadsheet financial question, but let's do a more spiritual, let's do a more humanist approach.
Spiritual, yes. Humanist.
Yes. This is a financial question from that arena. It happened on the show yesterday from a listener of the show. Heather sent us on Facebook the question, are you supposed to tip the guys who bring out your groceries when you order them from the Walmart app? See, this is a new financial frontier that we've never had to deal with before.
Yes. I've not read up on it. I saw an article and I'm going to Google it real quick and see if I grab it, but it kind of brought up, what do we do or how does social tipping work in this world?
Right. And we've got to figure it out. Do we treat them like waiters at the restaurant who bring your order out to you because they are bringing your order out to you? Or do we treat them like the cashier who just takes your order and bags it and throws it in the buggy for you? Now, when you go back many, many moons ago, your lovable co-host, Mr. Parker over here, was a buggy pusher at an Albertsons back in his hometown. And every once in a while, you'd get a tip here and there, but that wasn't the regular order of the day. Now, if it was raining, I would make bank out the wazoo because people were very sympathetic. But on a normal day, you don't tip those guys either. Now, crank that
well,
to your financial.
Well, they're not running some low wage where it's like waiters, waitresses, such, you know, the restaurant. They're not making what minimum wage in most cases.
True.
They're making a wage that basically they know they're getting tipping on top of that. So they're probably making, say, a decent hourly wage.
Walmart doesn't pay minimum wage. Right.
Or what I heard referred to this Chick-fil-A franchise out in California raised his minimum wage for his employees to $17 an hour. He said, I wanted to make sure my employees have a living wage. I don't know what the California minimum is, but it's higher than most places. With that said, so on the grocery store, well, so Walmart's, they're not paid expecting to, and they're probably not. Here's where in a situation, there's no tipping there mm-hmm. unless somebody goes above and beyond and you reward them for that type of service.
Okay.
And it can be a few bucks. It could be $2, could be four, could be five, you know, but that's where you do something nice. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could be a clerk in a store and you go home and write a nice little note card and send it to the manager of that store about that employee going above and beyond. That's something special to do in a world where it's all texting and email, but you send a handwritten note complimenting them on their service staff. You're not going to go to Dillard's, for example, and tip the lady helping you get your stuff together, look out for it, and then ring you up after you've searched for an hour for that pair of slacks. But if they went above and beyond, you can do something nice.
Man, that is so weird that you bring up the department store thing, because I got a story to tell after the break. 504-260-0995. You got a financial situation or tipping tips? 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
So folks listening, you come to me and you go, hey, I already got 5%. Well, mom and dad gave me 5%, but I still want to take advantage of, I want to go with CAFA, put the 5% down, and let's use the grant program to buy out your private mortgage insurance.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you'd like to participate in the show, let's talk about what you're doing in retirement. Are you on pace? Do you have an income plan? Do you know where you're going to be 5, 10, 15 years out? Have a reasonable idea. Nothing's exact because things change, but do you have that idea?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Two questions. Do you have a pulse? Do you own anything? If you said yes to both, you probably need a will. You may even need a trust. We all know a lawyer. Do you know someone who specializes in estate planning? Do you really trust the husband of your sister's friend from college? Or would you feel better putting your family in the hands of the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority? I'm Wes Blanchard. What's your plan? Offices in Metairie and at wjblanchardlaw.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I'd like to have balance. What's in the company plan? I'm a fan of Roth. Also, I like after-tax dollars. What that does is give you a lot of flexibility. So if you're taking income from all three of those sources at retirement, you're taking tax-free income into the mix, because when you take a distribution from your Roth, it is not going to show up on the 1040. And of course, after-tax dollars, you can really be creative in that and making look like some of your distributions are principal, so you're not being taxed. So it gives us an awesome mix. I've got a client, $4,200 a month in income. Off that $4,200 a month, her tax bill for the year was about $1,000.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. Always on the fly away, just because yeah, you found us. Just in time. We have like 12 minutes left in the show. 504-260-0995. 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. It's the bomb. You can text, email, call us from the touch screen. It's like unbelievable. You can connect to the show on the stream. You have to get away from your car or your air feed radio at the house, and you got to go somewhere. Well, you can grab our podcast as well, but you can stream the show as well. Text us. And hey, we'll send you some little bits of information about upcoming shows and such. And there's a dashboard, and you are going to get an offer to be a part of our newsletter that goes out, and some of our market commentary, some cool stuff from downloading the Winning It app, Winning It Life app. Go to your app store, download it. It's free. and it's the bomb. I like it myself. I have it on my phone, the Winning at Life app.
Yeah, but we're on it, so we're kind of biased.
I'm fair on everything. But here's the question I want to know, James. You know, you're kind of saying, well, you know, waiters, bartenders, it's a given. You tip
tipping,
those. Yeah. And sometimes I'll go so far as to say it's not just, you know, or is it 10% or 15% or double the tax? It depends on the restaurant and the service. If you're going to repeat there and you want to make sure everybody knows that you're going to tip, they see you, they know good tips coming. They're going to take care of you. I kind of like that to be put out there and the word spread. I might tip 30% to get it out there. Definitely 20. But if I'm getting good service, they'll be extra. Look, I get bad service, I might give them a verbal tip on how to improve, but I'm probably tipping them. It's just rare that I just can't go to no tip. I can't remember the last time I zeroed one. It has to go back way. And I have done it, but it's a long time ago. But what I'm wondering about is the valets. Do you tip those? How are they paid? Are they just there for the tips? I sometimes wonder that, but I'll, you know, if I'm getting my car taken care of, it's a five spot easy. If I'm getting exceptional service, like they park my car in a nice spot and they're not banging into it, I can get to it real easy. Or if I need to stow something away, they'll let me do that and they'll lock it back up and make sure. Yeah, they're getting 10 spot on that easily. But that is kind of expected on the valets.
Yeah, I've never even processed the part of the conversation that the guy's
missing. Have you been a valet? I haven't.
I've never been a valet. But Gregory and I were talking on the break there, and we were saying, well, look, it's obvious that you tip the people who make the sub-minimum wage. People make $2.17 or whatever the peanuts an hour is, and so that's waiters and bartenders. And then you brought up valets. It's like, I don't know what they make. I don't know what they make, but everyone tips the snot out of valets. Those guys have to be doing okay.
That place that looks out for our social well-being, making sure everybody's treated fairly, whether we buy coffee or not when we go there. Oh, yeah. It's a community center, isn't it?
Yeah, it is now.
Yeah.
They let anyone can go to the bathroom?
Formerly known as Starbucks. But they got a tip jar out, but nobody's making minimum wage there. I don't know this for sure, but I'm just assuming based on how Starbucks says they run their business, I don't think they're making minimum wage there. And they shouldn't be, what, $7, $8, $10 for a cup of coffee, that latte.
Yeah, it takes a pair to ask for a tip after you just charge $7 for a cup of coffee.
But, you know, when I give them my card, swipe it, and leave a little place, I add $2. Yeah, I'm already overpaying, but, you know.
It's like, what about?
I don't know. If I don't know, you know, don't you feel that way? I don't know. Let me just add $2 to the
bill. That's my dilemma on the Chinese takeout. When you go get Chinese takeout, for here, it's Hot Wok. It's the one right next to Jude's office. When I was living on the North Shore, there was one called China Garden off 59.
But now you're saying it's a restaurant. It's a restaurant.
But there's no waiters. This is, you call in your orders. It's the classic Chinese takeout.
Only?
Takeout only. Yes.
I didn't know they had those. I thought they were all buffets.
There's only two kinds of Chinese restaurants, buffets and takeouts. That's it. That's all I ever go to.
No, there's another one that has tables.
I've heard story and of those, but I just never go there. So I can't confirm or disconfirm that rumor.
Happiness in New Orleans, I believe. I do takeout.
I've seen the signs.
And I have probably ate inside there a couple times and I did not see a buffet.
When the pizza guy brings a pizza to your house, you tip him.
Yeah.
When they have some sort of deal where it's like, well, you can get two larges for $15, takeout only. You tip
I
them
do
then?
A couple bucks.
Me too, but they didn't do anything.
Okay, you go to, say, New Orleans Food and Spirits example. It's a restaurant. You do a takeout.
Yes.
Okay, and you're saying, well, it's takeout. They didn't do anything. Do you tip them? I believe you do because they still had to stop what they're doing, take care of your order, didn't help and sell a beer on the bar or wait a table. They're waiting on you. Now, they didn't take time and they didn't take much time, but I'm kind of like 10% on a takeout order at a restaurant because that person is being paid, but they're servicing that. Sometimes it's a full-time person. That's what they're doing, is handling the takeout. I tip. And then if I want to be, make sure my orders are taken care of in the future, I might do more if I'm going to be a repeat customer.
All right. Now you brought up department stores.
Yes. Let's hear that.
Last year I went to Houston on a business trip and I was one dress shirt short because I'm stupid. So I went to the mall. It was right.
You miscounted the days.
It's like, dummy, you knew you were going to be there 4 days. You can't bring four dress shirts. So there was a mall right by the hotel where they had put me up, and I went into the Macy's there, and I'm a little misshapen, Gregory. I got an 18-inch neck and 37-inch measurement for my arm. So, you know, that's the two measurements on a dude's dress shirt. And most brands just don't make it. They stop at like 17 and a half if your arm's going to be that long, or maybe you got to go off to the big and tall section, but then no one's skinny enough and all the shirts look like balloons. And so I was just frustrated, and the lady's like, well, I can help you find one. And I was like, no, I already went through that rack. She goes, yes, but in this brand, the necks run a little big. So if you get a 17 and a half in this brand, you'll be just fine. I'll even let you try it on. No problem. And she was right. That's like a secret of the pros. I would have never figured this out. So then what do I do? Do I tip her? What am I going to give her? $5? What good does that do? So what I went is she actually, right after she took care of me, she walked off and started helping someone else. And another lady that was working with her, I go, hey, where's the manager? I just want to compliment her on really helping me. And she goes, oh, well, manager's not here right now. So if you have a complaint or a compliment, you got to go to the office. Well, I didn't want to go to the office. I wanted to go back to my car and get back to my life. Right. But yeah. Now I already did this and I have to keep the ball rolling. And I can't be a jerk and be like, nah, you know what? Screw it. So I had to go to the office and I had to like sit there and like formally register a compliment on this lady. And it took a little bit. I would have rather given her $5. Did I do the right thing?
You probably should have just went on home, but kept that love and feeling and write out a handwritten note, go online, look up the address or call who's the manager of this department, get that lady's name and send a card.
That sounds like even more work than just chilling for five minutes in the office.
I can't wait. I'd have gone home and then done that.
With that,
waited and gave her $5 or $10.
Let's do a quick rundown of the numbers real quick, because there's a couple things I got to cover in here. Hey, welcome to the number segments, where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today. And just to keep the storylines going, the losing has stopped for a little bit. The Dow Jones was up 1.2%, S&P up 1.3%, NASDAQ up 0.9%. So it was green all the way around. Dead instruments.
I am not there yet. Let's see. 2.845 on 10-year treasuries.
Still going down, huh?
Yeah, but it's kind of in an area that I believe it holds, but you could have more Italians needing better bonds than what they have over there in Italy. Crude oil is up a little bit today. Aftermarket, it's down like quarter point, $68.02. They're thinking that OPEC and them and Russia going to want to pump some more oil. So we might, after a little move back up, we might see oil drop some. Gold, $1,308 an ounce, and silver, $16.50 an ounce, basically.
Tell them about your day job, Gregory.
Hey, financial advisor, seeker of the truth on your risk number. What is your financial story? Would you like us to help build your financial story? Find out where you are on the path and where are you headed? So yeah, we do advice. We're fiduciaries. We manage money. We're going to help you with the path and reach at financial destination. All you've got to do is take action. Just pick up the phone, give my office a call. We have a team ready and able to help you through this process and have your back. The office number is 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
Thank you very much for hanging out and spending some time with us. We'll do this again tomorrow at 7. Saturdays, we do it 10 to 1. In the meantime, you're home away from the show, where you can get your podcasts on demand and all kinds of great stuff, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.